Everyone, I've just been informed that I'm to announce an international tea. It sounds good, doesn't it, really? It's only going to be tea and cakes and whatever. But it's for whoever's interested in missions and the idea of praying for missions. And if you've been involved in one way or another, doing short time work in other countries, then this is for you, okay? And we're not charging for the tea or the coffee, so it's a freebie this afternoon. But if you'd like to come along, it's at our house. We can give you the address of that one. And we have a brother, I don't even know him, actually, Roda. And they've been in Senegal it was, I think, for about 30 years. So they've got a lot of experience. We can gain a lot from them. And I would like just to encourage you to really take time out and be with us this afternoon. It kicks off at 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. And we try and finish at the hour of Andrew's hour, which is right on the dot. So sounds good, doesn't it? So let's just think about God's word this morning. What a privilege we've got. We've been singing about him, enjoying him, just enjoying what he's been doing for us. And in the church here, we're on a theme of the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and teaching of the Holy Spirit in the book of Luke and Acts. And we're at the end of Luke, the last chapter in Luke, chapter 24. And we've been thinking about verse 49, which has to do with the Holy Spirit. But let's read a little bit of this chapter. It's vital to understand this verse, to take its context. And without the context, it becomes a disaster. So let's read in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. And I'm just going to read it this way. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you." And what was the context of that? All of a sudden, the disciples were discussing about the news that they heard that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And they were having this little confab there, probably in one of the rooms that they were there gathering together, perhaps in the upper room, we don't know. And they were talking about this, and they had great unbelief. There were two people that had witnessed this the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was alive. And they were going on the road to Emmaus. They got to Emmaus, Jesus really revealed who he was to them. So they trundled back again into Jerusalem to tell the disciples, he's actually alive. And the amazing thing is that the disciples didn't really grasp it. In fact, they just couldn't believe that Jesus actually had risen from the dead. 3 days later, for goodness sake. And there they were just talking about it. And all of a sudden, now this is the scary bit. And this is the awesome bit. This is the bit that just thrills your soul. Jesus just appears. Okay. Now, I did share with you not so long ago when we were in Chile, there was a situation where we were on the road, we were a dangerous situation, there were barricades, tires burning, and everything else, and all of a sudden there was a chap that just appeared and said, "Don't go there." So we turned around like good little boys and girls. I was with another pastor, and I really believe it was an angel, okay? No promise about that. But there was Jesus. I mean, he'd been dead. They had no hope within them. They just didn't believe this. And in fact, he actually says to them, "Well, look, give me something to eat. I'm not a ghost." And there, as they gave him to eat, he starts afterwards. I don't think he talked with his mouth full. But he said, "This is what I told you, that I was still with you. I've told you this, guys." And you can catch here the amazement of Jesus. They still don't believe. I've sent people to them, and they still don't believe. And yet I'm sure his heart was filled with a joy that was unbounding. But he'd come to them with some tremendous news. Not only had he been risen from the dead, but there's more to come. And one of the greatest things we can remember in the Christian life, it's not always going to be like it is today. There's more to come. There's more with Jesus. And he says this, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds. There was the open tomb. Oh, praise God. And then when he was talking to the guys, or the people going to Emmaus, he opened their hearts and their minds to receive. And this time, Jesus opens their minds so that they can understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Mind-boggling, okay? You are witnesses of these things. Uh-oh, that's this catch bit, okay? You're witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his arms, hands, and blessed them. What a blessing, eh? Oh, I love it. Oh, well, we won't go down there, okay? But he lifted up his arms and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them. Oh, they're just looking at him going, man. Bless me, bless me. Come on, Jesus, tell me what you want. He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Luke here in this portion, he doesn't tell us all the events that happened during the time when Christ rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And then when he actually ascended, this last portion. There are lots of things that happened. There was lots of teaching that Jesus gave. And we'll find that in chapter 1. Of Acts, and Andrew's going to be speaking on that, so I'm not touching that at all, okay? But you find that Luke here tells us six vital facts that we need to know about Jesus, and we need to know about what he wants and expects of us and what he has done for us. So I'm going to give you this. I'm going to blow your mind right now, okay? Okay, ready? There you go, man. This verse is so... it's so much crammed into these verses that I've sort of divided it up like this. You've got verses 44 to 46. It talks about the cross. It talks about what Jesus was going to do. And then it talks about him fulfilling it. And then there's the commission of Christ to his disciples. And then he gives them not only a commission, but he tells them the content of that commission, what they are to preach and to teach. And then there's that command to be witnesses. It's not only just talking about Jesus, it's living a life like Jesus. And to do that, he says something, and this is what we will be trying to touch this morning. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit in a super special way to empower us to be able to be his witnesses, to be able to share his gospel, to be able to obey him in the commission that he's given us. Jesus never asks us to do things for him without equipping us. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in these verses. And then you come to the closure of Christ's earthly ministry, his ascension, verses 50. It's not 63, it's 53. Sorry, I corrected them on the other one, but I didn't on this. So what we have is this. There are two conditions in these verses that have to be fulfilled before the promise of the Father could be given to his disciples and be given to us. And these first two conditions are the work of Jesus on the cross. Jesus had to die. That's why the prophets and the Psalms tell us about Jesus and the work of Jesus on the cross. And Jesus on the cross brings man the possibility of repentance to God. You and I can come to God this morning because Jesus died on the cross for us. A replay. You and I can come to Jesus, to God this morning, because Jesus died for us. Oh, okay, that's a half-hearted one, all right, but I can't get any more than that one. And then the second condition was this. Jesus had to ascend into heaven so that he could send the Holy Spirit to us. And without the Holy Spirit power in our lives, we struggle, we have problems, difficulties, but we need what we call today the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and that is because Jesus died on the cross for us, preparing us, giving us his very life. And then as he ascended on high to sit at the right hand of his Father, Father and Son sent the Holy Spirit into our lives. And that's what happened at Pentecost. And from there, God's Holy Spirit has not been taken from his earth. And let's just think a little bit here of where we are. In this verse, the work of Jesus on the cross, bringing man the possibility of repentance towards God, and God bringing to man remission or forgiveness of sins, we see this, the cross. And it describes the basic knowledge of our salvation, if you like. It describes what Jesus has done for us. Jesus talks about he had to suffer. It tells us the very, he tells us the very fact that he prophesied, and it was seen in the Psalms, and we see in the Old Testament that he should rise again on the third day. That's something that we must catch. We don't serve a dead Christ. We don't serve a Christ on a cross. We serve a living, resurrected Christ. Oh, I got an amen on this side. I'll come over on this side again. All right, okay. And the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins. This morning, we have the greatest privilege that any man on this earth can have. We can have forgiveness of all our sins and peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we recognize of our failures and our sins, and as we come to him and ask him forgiveness because of the cross, because of the work of Jesus on the cross, you and I can be forgiven this morning. Where is she? Isn't that great news? Give me five. Because it's so exciting to hear this. We take it for granted. We just accept it. But, oh, Lord, open our eyes that we may see the wonder of this salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And then we come into the second part there, the commission of Christ to preach the gospel to all nations. Let me read this in verse 47. I did bring my little Bible with me. It says this. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Verse 47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here we find the key purpose of Jesus' mission. This is why he came. Can you believe this? This is why he came. We'll be celebrating now in the next month about Christmas. But why did he come? He came to bring life. He came to help us have life with God. And that comes through repentance and from his forgiveness of our sins. And he says this, the key purpose of mission is this, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, I'm biased on this verse, okay? I really am biased on this verse. This has sort of guided my life. This is what we exist for. This is why we're around today, so that we can fulfill the mission that Christ has given us. It isn't enough just to come to Jesus and say, forgive me, Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. Amen. It's, Lord, okay, you have forgiven me. Now, what do you want me to do to show that really I'm enjoying this forgiveness? And we'll see a few things here that we come out with something so simple. The content of what God wants us to do. He wants us to repent. He's come to bring repentance. And now that's an Old Testament. In the Old Testament, repentance speaks about a change of behavior. And that change of behavior is just turning from the way that's wrong, the way that disobeys God, to obeying God. And then in the New Testament, we come to it. It's a radical change of our thinking. Sorry, can't show you that one yet. It's a radical change of our thinking, what we actually think, forgiveness. And it refers to an event in which an individual receives a divinely provided new understanding of their behavior that it doesn't please God. Now, have you ever come across that? Oh, perhaps you might have. You've never really made the mark as far as God's concerned. But what do you do with that? Oh, well, that's just life. No. God, when God reveals something to you, it's so that he can change you. When God reveals something to you, it's so that he can do something within you. When God reveals something to you, it's for a purpose. And if God has shown you that you need to come to him and ask him for forgiveness, then ask him for forgiveness. You know what your life is like. I don't have to tell you. And I don't have to mention a big list of sins. You know if you are really walking with God as God wants you to walk. And if not, just ask him to forgive you. It's a simple thing to do. Oh, but my word, what a release it brings. And then it's not just enough about thinking that I'm doing wrong. We have to be willing to be able to willing to say, Lord, I'm going to change my ways with your help. Awesome. Forgiveness of sin. That's what Jesus' name means. Forgiveness of sin. So in we come to Christmas time, as I said, and you have this event with Mary and the way that the angel reveals to her what God wants to do through her. And he says this, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And because he will save his people from their sins. So we find that in Jesus, okay, we need to prepare, be prepared to speak the name of Jesus. We need to be prepared to share about Jesus Christ, because in his name, it's a Semitic word, Jesus, I suppose we could say, an idiom. In his name, in the name of Jesus, we are talking about his power. And all we have to think about is the resurrection. I mean, Jesus was just standing in front of them. You know, no doors. All the doors were closed. The windows were closed. It must have been a bit claustrophobic there. But all of a sudden, he disappears. There's power in Jesus. His person, he's the Son of God. And when we realize that the Son of God is with us, when we realize that he's risen from the dead, that he died for us, it should change our attitude and our way of looking on life so that we turn to God and come in peace, looking for peace with him. And then his authority. It's in his name we step out. And in stepping out in his name, he teaches us. How can I explain this? Through the Holy Spirit, he creates within us something of his character. Now that's the name of Jesus with us. But we so often just accept it. No. You and I have a message to preach, guys. You and I have, if we have come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if we've repented of our sins, if we've asked God for forgiveness, God has forgiven us. And in his name, he's asking us to serve him, to go to all nations, to share his word, to share what he's asked us to do. And you might say to me, well, Peter, you know, I'm a bit of an old guy now, and I can't do all that. Don't necessarily have to go to whatever. You just got to be a Christian where you are. You just have to live that life that God's asking you to live to all nations. And then we see this command to witness. And this is where we want to come to. I should have taken my watch off, Andrew. I should have taken my watch off. It's this command to witness. Oh, come on. Just put yourself in the sandals of these disciples, okay? They were there, they were talking, and then Jesus is there. And he says to them, I want you to be my witnesses. Okay, they didn't even believe that he was actually risen. You know, they just couldn't understand it. These were the most ill-prepared men, if we may say that. They had so much teaching about him. They'd been with Jesus. They'd seen what he had done. They'd seen him die on the cross for them. They'd seen him. They obviously realized that there he was resurrected in front of them. They'd lived with him. And John says, we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son. We saw the glory of God, rather. And they saw him. But when you have come into contact with Christ, we have a responsibility. And the privilege of knowing Jesus brings a responsibility. And your responsibility and my responsibility is that we be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? Yes, please, please say an amen to that one. You are called to be witnesses. Yes, but these poor disciples, they were scared out of their wits. It's a ghost or whatever, you know. Give him something to eat. Let's have a look and see if we can see what's happening. No, please. If you know Jesus, as you a personal savior, someone who's come into your life and has changed your life, you are automatically being commissioned by Jesus to be his witness. A witness of who? Of just a Christ dying on the cross? Well, that's wonderful. Witness about somebody that Jesus has come into your life and given you life with God. That's marvelous. But we should be witnesses of the resurrected living Jesus Christ. Because as he is, so are we this morning. Now, as we see that, we, like the disciples, I was impressed by Ben's ministry last week. I gave him a commercial. He's at the back there, sat at the back there. And he was very honest with us. He was really honest with us. And I admired that. You know, he said, there's things that I know to do that I don't do about being a witness for Jesus Christ. And I think these disciples came into this reality that he was asking them to be witness. He says this to them, verse 47. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Okay, verse 48. So as we see that we are to be witnesses, a witness is someone who sincerely tells what he has seen and heard. Do we do that? Sorry, guys, this is the heavy bit this morning. Do we do that? Do we really share this life of Christ? It was the apostles, you know, they were having a rough time with the religious leaders, and they came out with this simple statement, for we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. Are we like that? No. Right. And a true witness does not say, I think so. He says, I know. I know that I've had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I know that Christ lives today because he lives within me. I know that I have my sins forgiven because he's told me that in his word. Are we a witness for Christ? Or do we keep quiet? As Christians, we're not to be judges or prosecuting lawyers sent to condemn the world. We are witnesses who point to Jesus and tell lost sinners how to be saved. Not with a superior attitude. Hey, man, you got to come to Jesus, man. You got to believe in him because he died for you. If you don't, you're going to go to hell, man. You'll frighten them to death. Don't do that. Just talk. If you love someone, you talk about them. I hope you talk about them as, you know, someone special. I'll give you a little tip. When you talk about Jesus, make sure that you're talking about him as someone special. Okay? Then we come to this. What a commission. This is an original. This is a guy called Warren Wiersbe, an American, just passed away in the last few months. Tremendous commentaries. Very practical, I would recommend this author. And he says this, witnessing is not something that we do for God. Oh, man, I love it. It's not something I can do. I can witness for God. I'm a witness. And you used to have witnesses in church. If we had a witness for Band of Hope or whatever it was, okay. It's something that he does through us if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read this in one sentence. Witnessing is not something that we do for God. It's something he does through us if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, brother. That's a good one. He's our community guide. Okay. Oh, you see, it's just Jesus and his Spirit through us. We don't have to pretend that we know all the answers. We just have to live and be willing to share what we know about him. That life that he's given us. Then the second condition, and this is actually, don't panic here, all right? Please don't panic. But this is what I wanted to get to this morning. Sorry, I'm sorry. It's a bit a long introduction, as Janet would say. But anyway, Okay, this really blew my socks off. The ascension of Christ to heaven and to his Father was so that he might release the Holy Spirit. Through the cross, man has access to God, as we've said. Because of the ascension, the Holy Spirit has access to man. Can you believe that? Come on. Look, Jesus died so that we can have a relationship with him. But then, when he went up into heaven and sat at the right hand of his Father, I don't know how much of a confab they had, how much they talked about it, because this was decided before the world was made. But really, really, they sent the Holy Spirit. Not angels, not powers, not principalities, not armies, but God sent himself yet again for us. I'm sorry, guys, but this is so... How can you sit on your seats like that? Okay. And this is it, you see. This is from John, okay? I've gone out to the book of Luke, okay? I'm being adventurous here a little bit. But here in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says this. But I tell you the truth. It's good that I'm going away. Oh, come on, Jesus. You, it's just great being with you. Come on, bro. Get up and walk a minute with me. See, he's got a new hip, all right? Sorry, I hope you don't mind. It's healthy. It's lovely walking. It's lovely walking with Jesus, isn't it? Oh, yes. Isn't he a wonderful chappy? Look what he's done for us. No, I'm not, but let's pretend. What a wonderful chappy. And it's good. Oh, Jesus, look at this. Do a miracle, Jesus. Do you need us miracles? Oh, Jesus, you're pretty good, aren't you? We're feeling hungry, you know. Okay, get some food going. You can give him a clap, guys. He's done his bit, right? And it's superb. It's wonderful to say, I'm with Jesus now. Jesus, just stay here with me. Oh, please. Oh, so good to have you. But you see, Jesus knew that he had something for us. He wants us to be his witnesses. Not just to be with him, just to sit down, and just to have all these little miracles and stuff. He wants to actually live within us. Not just walk at the side of us. He wants to come within us with his power, with his glory, with his authority, with his might, so that we can be his witnesses, so that we can have strength and courage to stand up for him, so that we can have that power within us, knowing that, yes, God is with me. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. It's good that I'm going away, guys. Sorry about this, but I'm off. But I'm going to send someone. I'm going to send someone, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. But he can't come if I don't go. And he's come. He's come. Pentecost. Andrew's talking about that, so we won't go into that one. Oh, but look. He came to help them be capable of really moving and being his witnesses. Now, I've got to find where I am on your slides here because it's a bit lost there. But let's read verse 49. Sorry, I didn't put it up, really. It describes the divine enabling for us as his children. I'm going to send you what my Father's promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Oh, when Jesus promised something, awesome, because he'll fulfill it. And this comes from the authority of the Father himself. So where two or three are in agreement, God says something wonderful. And when God is in agreement with God, then something superb is going to happen. And Jesus is saying this, oh, wait. Wait. And you and I need the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus says, I'm sending. The Spirit proceeds from both the Father and the Son. It isn't one who sends. There's unity here. And the Spirit himself comes in unity with the Father and the Son. As I see, the promise of my Father refers to the Spirit. He says, stay in the city. Okay, now I haven't really got time for this one, but really, it's amazing. You see, these guys, they probably would have run away from Jerusalem. I mean, Jesus was dead as far as they were concerned, in one sense, and it was a rough place to be. They were Galileans, the majority of them, safer to go away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the so-called spiritual center of the world at that time. Until you be clothed with power, or endued with power, the King James Version. And it's an old word, and this is what is so amazing. Jesus says, until you be clothed with power. And it's an old verb for putting on a garment. No, that's a lady's. I'll have mine. No, who's it? Oh, did you catch that, guys? Did you catch that? She said, no, it's not. It's mine. I said, this is the lady's. And she said, oh, no, it's not. It's mine. Now, if you don't work that one out, don't worry about it. Okay. But he says, it's literally this. You see, you have to receive him. It's the wrong way around. You didn't work that out, Jan, did you? How many people could do something like that? You've got to receive him. I'll be sweating like crazy with this now. Ooh, do you remember when we had George Burwell here? And that special jacket that he gave to a special person? You haven't caught it. Put on yourselves power from on high. Who, me? I'm no theologian. I'm just a little guy. He ain't got nothing to offer. That's why the Spirit came. Put on yourselves power from on high. What does that tell us? The Holy Spirit must be received. It's not an automatic experience. Let me clarify that, please. We are responsible for being willing to receive this power and dynamic presence of the Spirit in our lives. Of course, when we come to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit within us, we're not of Christ, Paul says. But I'm going out of Luke again. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 39. I must confess, I've been meditating on these verses for months, and I'm just bowled over. If anyone is thirsty, anybody. Anybody, if anyone is thirsty, Jesus says, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, just in case we didn't understand it, okay? By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Oh. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, he had to ascend first. He had to go up to his Father. He had to be with his Father. They had to be in agreement of sending the Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to be in agreement to come to this earth and to dwell in man. And he says, whoever believes in me, drink of me. Whoever believes in me, come to me. Whoever needs help in their spiritual lives, come to me and I'll give you rest. Sorry, and I'll give you to drink. We must personally recognize our need and turn to Christ who will meet that need. We cannot be witnesses for Him without the aid and the help of the power of the Holy Spirit clothing us, coming upon us, being there for us. The Holy Spirit, as I said, indwells each believer, because if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He wants to fill and release His power within us. You see, He comes and He creates us, He makes us new creatures. But these new creatures need power to live the life that He's given us. And for that, we have to ask Him, Lord, Holy Spirit, come into my life and give me that power that You want for me so that I can serve You and be Your witness. Now, I wrote this down. This is from part of a commentary, and it's adapted by Keevil, so it's more or less. The Holy Spirit desires to penetrate, infuse us, imbue us with Himself, so that we know that we have received His supernatural power in the fullest and deepest sense of that word. Okay, Keevil, what did you want to say there? Well, let's just look at these words a minute, because they can help us, I think. This word, I'm not going on to the word penetrate. I've talked about that. I mentioned that a while ago. But this one, infuse and imbue us. To infuse means to cause, to be permeated with something as a principle or quality that alters usually for the better. Is infused with something, for example, infuse the team with confidence. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us so that we can know that, yes, He's with us. Oh, yes. And then with that, it implies a pouring in of something that gives new life or significance. I always think of a cup of tea and a tea bag. You know, you infuse, the tea is infused. It becomes part, the flavor, with the water, with the tea leaf and all that sort of stuff. It's infused, it becomes impregnated with. I think I could use that word too. And then there's this word imbue. Now, that's a difficult word for me to pronounce, but it implies the introduction of a quality that fills and permeates the whole being. Oh, can you get this morning, church? The Holy Spirit wants to imbue us with His power, with His presence, so that He permeates us, lives within us, enables us to be faithful witnesses for Him. We don't have to do this alone. We have God's Holy Spirit with us. Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't say that one. But yes, that's not my definition. That's Merriam-Webster's, an American dictionary, not the Oxford. Okay. The Holy Spirit wants to give us Himself so that He can empower us to be what Christ wants us to be. I love it. I don't have to struggle, you see, in my Christian life. I do, but I don't need to really, because God has given me all that I need. He's given me Himself. He's given you Himself. So when we have God within us, oh man, I don't know how to express this, but it's awesome. It's awesome. God, Trinity, through the Holy Spirit living in our beings, He wants to stamp His divine authority and power in our lives so that we can be effective witnesses for Him. That's what He's for. He says, oh, I got to be careful here. You're mine. All right, don't hit me now, will you? You're mine. I know. Oh, jeez. I want to be possessed by the Spirit. I don't know if I can say that in English, but anyways, come out. I want Him to take control of me, and probably Janet as well, so that I change. Sorry, guys, it's my sense of humor. So that He changes me. He enables me. That when I come against moments like Ben was sharing about, it's difficult to testify. You know, he comes within us to enable us to do that. Clothed with power. I just want to do this one. Remember, the spiritual life is as much a gift and empowering from God as his spiritual salvation. But it must be received and implemented. It's not automatic. We automatically, when we confess Jesus Christ and we ask him to come into our lives, we ask for pardon from God, automatically the Holy Spirit creates in us, starts to create within us a new being. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. But then you and I are responsible. I love it with God. You know, he just doesn't just do everything for us. He asks us to, if I can use this word, to cooperate with him so that he can show his power through us. And he asks us to open up our hearts and our lives. It's not automatic. And we can be stuck on this for most of our lives saying, oh, well, when God wants to touch me, he'll touch me. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a basic Christian. I want to be an abnormal Christian. I want someone I know within me guiding me and leading me and doing things through me for his glory. Power. Literally, the potentiality to exert force in performing some function. It's from a lexicon, great lexicon, okay? It's the potential to exert force in performing some function. Now, it was a guy called William Barclay, and some of you might not be in agreement with this guy, but I found him to be a great help. And he says this, most of us know what to do or what we should do. The greatest problem that we have, this is in my words, right? The greatest problem that we have is that we can't do it. We might know what to do, but we don't have the power to do what's right. Okay? Now, we might know that we need to testify. We might know that we need to serve God. We might know whatever. But we don't have that ability within us to do that. That's why Jesus says, I've got to go. So that he can come and dwell and enclose you. Can dwell and imbue you, infuse you with himself. If I can use this word, I don't know whether it's good, and I've got to stop in a minute. But, you know, it's not just Jesus outside talking to him. Right now, you and I have the Holy Spirit within us, revealing Jesus to us, enabling us to serve him. And just some of the examples of the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just going to stop on this one, is that his disciples were given inner strength to live in his service, Ephesians 3, chapter 16. Power of God. Power to be his witnesses here in Luke 24, 49 and Acts 1, 8. And power to endure suffering. The disciples were given power to enable for ministry. Power to face weaknesses, power through prayer, power to be kept from evil. The same word, dunamis, the same word, this is basically the word explosion, dynamite, is within us. God himself dwells within us as we allow him to come in, as we allow him to clothe us with himself. So I'm just going to, we all need to be enabled by the Spirit. As the presence and power of the Holy Spirit rests on us, he opens our eyes, quickens our spirits, stirs our hearts. Have you been stirred by God? Huh? Have you known that this God is here? God's doing this. That's what he wants to do. He wants to empower us so that we can move forward in him. And can I just invite you this morning, just in this moment of time, to be willing to say to God, Father, allow me to receive more of your Spirit to enable me to be the witness and to live a life that you want me to live so that Jesus is glorified in me. Wow. this is awesome. I really feel I haven't hit where God wants to hit this morning. But I do understand that God is very simply saying to us today, He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's here to help us, to enable us to live that life that God is asking us to live for Him. You're not on your own, folks. God's Spirit is with us. Amen. Andrew, I don't know where we go from here. You're the guy. I'll do a song. Can we stand? We're going to sing. I'm sorry, I should have prepped the musicians, but I didn't do that. But any questions, please ask Andrew. No, it's all right. Yeah, please ask Andrew, obviously. But come up to me as well.
We're going to respond with this song. There must be more than this. Let's just pray, shall we? As we use this as a way to respond to what God has been saying to us through Peter. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us power to do what we are powerless to do by ourselves. And we pray that in these moments that each of us would be willing, truly willing, to receive all that you have for us. And we pray that you would meet with us. We pray that we would be clothed with power from on high, even in these moments, that we would go from this place different from how we came in. Increase our confidence in you. Lord, we pray for a new assurance of your presence with us. So come, do your work among us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.